Thank you, Jesus, that you're giving us this last bit of strategy tonight in our final session to be able to show us how to position ourselves for increase in the financial realm. I thank you for the information you're going to release tonight in your name. Amen. Okay. I talked about this message in July. It was not too long ago. I talked something similar to this, and I usually don't speak the same message back to back like this, but the Lord instructed me very severely to do so. And as I go through the teaching and we get towards the end, I'll explain to you exactly why. But just know that tonight what I'm going to teach you is something that if you're not careful, once you break free in this realm, because of the stress and the fear that famine put on us, we could open ourselves back up to being attacked again and put ourselves right under the thing that we just got free of. Okay? Okay. In this session, we're going to talk about how demonic powers can put the spirits of famine, poverty, and lack on your life. And we're going to talk about how to position ourselves to totally get rid of those demonic powers. The first thing you must do is what we talked about in the last session. You must soak your soul in the light of Jesus and be healed in your soul. Because remember what Jesus said in John 14, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me that's in common with him, so he has no power over me. The spirits of famine and lack and poverty will not have power over you when you soak your soul in the light of Jesus and you get a healing in your soul so that there's nothing inside you that's in common with the demonic. So the demonic will have no power over you, including no power over your finances. Remember the pastor in Virginia, right? He had the wounded in his soul, and it allowed the demonic powers over that region of the Eastern religious group that moved in to have dominion over his finances, and it literally gutted him and his family, and they lost everything. Okay, so that's the first thing we must do to have dominion over the demonic that's trying to attack our finances. The second thing we must do is position ourselves to be able to fight the enemy, to come against these spirits, but to do it in the right order. First, we have to understand this. Number one priority of the demonic is your finances. You know that? That's like one of the enemy's number one assignments against the people of God. Why? Because if he can keep you and you and you under a spirit of poverty and lack, that means that there will be no money to proclimate and cause the kingdom of heaven to advance across the earth. You see, it's money. It's money that prints books. It's money that builds churches. It's money that sends evangelists out on trips across the world. It's money that undergirds missionaries. It's money that supports Christian television and radio. You know, when somebody said money makes the world go round, they were right. Money helps us take the gospel of peace of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. So Satan wants you to be put under famine and lack because he's an anti-kingdom demon. He does not want the kingdom of heaven to be released in the planet. So he'll do everything he can to stop you from increasing, because if you don't get increased, then you can't turn around and increase the kingdom. You can't undergird ministries. You can't undergird churches. You can't undergird missions. Okay? One of the number one assignments of the enemy is to hit our finances. Now, in order for us to properly be able to remove these demonic powers off of our finances, we have to be healed in our soul, and we also have to begin to make our assault against these powers and do it in the right order. What do I mean by that? The kingdom of darkness is a kingdom of order, believe it or not. The kingdom of darkness operates like an army. That's why the man with the spirit of the tomb said his name was Legion, because Legion is a Roman army term. And so he obviously knew, that spirit knew he was part of an army. And in every army, there are ranks. There's order. Okay? Just like the United States Army has generals and colonels and lieutenants and privates, so does the kingdom of darkness. There is order in the kingdom of darkness. And our problem is that we've been trying to fight the kingdom of darkness by starting at the bottom of the ranks and working our way up. Can you imagine fighting against a million-man army? And the head chief of the army, the general, is way in the back calling the shots. And you know, in order to stop that war, you need to get to him. Because if he stops calling the shots, then the whole army shut down, right? But however, we as Christians, we start at the front lines. And we try to battle our way through all the thousands and thousands of privates to maybe get to the colonels, to then get to the lieutenants, and on up the rank. We've got to stop doing that. It doesn't work like that. We have to learn that in order to successfully fight the demonic kingdom, we have to start from the top and work our way down. Now, Jesus understood the right order in which to fight the enemy. Remember what he said in Matthew 3, verse 27. He said, "But no one can go into the strong man's house and ransack his household goods right to left and seize them as plunder unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed may he thoroughly plunder his house." Okay, according to Jesus, the proper way to fight the kingdom of darkness is from the top down. You got to hit the top dog, the strong man. And once you defeat him, then may you thoroughly plunder his house and take out all of the spirits that are underneath him. Okay? But who are the strong men in the kingdom of darkness? Does the Bible actually name them? Show us who they are. Yes. When you look at Ephesians 6 in the Amplified, you can see who the, quote, strong men are in the kingdom of darkness. And you can also see the order in which the army of the kingdom of darkness operates. I want you to listen to the scripture from the Amplified. And I want you to notice the order in which the scripture talks about the ranks in the kingdom that Satan runs. Okay? It says this. Listen to the ranks. "For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the one, despotisms, against the two powers, and against the three, the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness." Okay, there is the order of the kingdom of darkness. And up at the top of the pecking order, the top dog or the strong man is the despot. What is a despot? It's a tyrant king. A tyrant king. And no king is a king unless he has a kingdom underneath him. Who are in these kings' kingdoms? Well, the next two in the list, the powers and the master spirits. The word powers in the Webster's Dictionary, one of the meanings is actually this, orders of angels. Wow. There's the various ranks in the army of the kingdom of darkness. Okay, the next in the line are the master spirits. To master just means to control. So these are like the lowest foot soldiers of the kingdom of darkness. They're just able to control us in some manner. So there is the order of the kingdom of darkness with the despot or the tyrant king at the top. And underneath him in his kingdom are the powers and master spirits. Now, as I began to get this revelation, the Lord spoke to me and he said this, "If you will learn how to fight and defeat the king, then the powers and master spirits underneath him in his kingdom will just submit to you." And when I heard him say that, I said, "Where is that in the Bible?" And he says, "It's in the story of David and Goliath." So I turned to that story in 1 Samuel 17, and I saw proof of what the Lord was trying to tell me. In the story of David and Goliath, is a key for us to being able to successfully fight the demonic kingdom in the right order. In this story, it says that the Philistine army and the Israelite army were both lined up in battle array. They were actually positioned to begin making war, to fight each other, but they weren't fighting. Why? Because each army had a champion that was doing the fighting for them. Okay, Goliath was fighting for the Philistines, and David was fighting for Israel. In this story, there's a statement that Goliath makes that gives us the proof of what God was trying to tell me. That if we start at the top dog, the strong man or the king, and we work our way down, then all the powers and master spirits, all the spirits underneath that king, will have to just submit to us. Okay, I want you to listen to what Goliath says in chapter 17, in verses 8 and 9, that Goliath would come up every day for 40 days to fight the Israelites, and he would say this same challenge every day. Listen to what he said. He said, "Choose a man from among yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we, meaning me and my army, will submit to you. Do you see what Goliath is saying there? The Philistine army wasn't fighting because Goliath was doing it for them. He was their covering. Okay? And here Goliath says out of his own mouth, he says, I'm their covering. So if you come and fight me, not only will I submit to you, but they will too. You see that? And that's exactly what happened. Because the scripture says this, that when David came to fight Goliath, that he, quote, verse 49, took a stone and he slung it and it struck the Philistine, sinking into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Now David kills Goliath with a stone. The scripture says it right there. But then he does something very strange. Even though the giant is already dead, he goes and he takes Goliath's sword, and right in front of the entire Philistine army, he cuts off Goliath's head. Why does he do that? Because you see, the removal of the head symbolizes the removal of headship. And what happened next? The scripture says that as soon as David cut off Goliath's head, the very next verse says this, and when the Philistines saw their mighty champion was dead, they fled. Did you hear that? When the Philistines saw that Goliath was killed, they didn't rise up and say, whoa, Goliath's dead, we need to go fight the Israelites and kick some behind right now. They didn't do that. They did exactly what Goliath said they would do. When they saw their champion was dead and their covering was gone, they didn't rise up and fight. They fled without a fight. That is the way the demonic army operates. We've been trying too hard to go through the front lines. We need to skip all that war because it's just making us worn out, and we will not win that way. We have to begin to fight in the proper order. We've got to start from the top down. When we behead demonic kings, then the powers and master spirits underneath them in their kingdoms will just submit to us. Now, the way David fought Goliath is the way that Jesus fought the enemy and won. Now remember what we talked about last session. Jesus came to earth as a man. Philippians 2 says that Jesus shed his divinity, came to earth as a man to walk out his obedience before God in a man's body. He had to come as a man. He had to go to the cross as a man without sin. If he went to the cross as very God of very God, then we would not be able to have the atonement that he has won for us by his blood sacrifice. He came to earth as a man. He got hungry like a man. He got tired like a man. Now, I want you to think about this. In Colossians, it says that Jesus had made a public spectacle over the enemy at the cross. Right? It was at the cross that Jesus did the final blow to Satan, right? Bam! Totally defeats Satan and gives us the right to do the same, right? But here's my question to you. How come Jesus, as a man, had total dominion over every demon before the cross? Isn't that an interesting question? How did he do it? I'll tell you how. He did it just like David did with Goliath. Jesus understood that the proper order of the demonic kingdom. He understood if you went to the strong man, the top dog, the king, and you beheaded that king, then every power and master spirit underneath that king and his kingdom would have to submit to him. Does the Bible actually prove that Jesus took on the kings? Yes, it does. Do you remember the showdown with Jesus and Satan in the desert? Do you remember that? The Bible actually records it as this in Luke 3. Listen to this. It says that, quote, Satan took Jesus up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the habitable world and said to him, to you I will give all of this, for it has been turned over to me, and I will give it to whoever I will, if you will do homage and worship me. And Jesus replied to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall do homage to and worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now, when Satan was making this very big offer to Jesus, for Jesus to have all his kingdoms, he wasn't offering him fancy cities like Jerusalem or Egypt. He was offering him his satanic realms. His kingdoms, where all his despot kings were in positions of power. That is what Satan was offering Jesus. Pretty tempting offer. If Jesus would just bow to him just once, he would give him control over every king and every demon in his realm. But Jesus said, I'm not going to do that. I don't need to pay homage to you in order to take control over you and your kingdoms. I just need to worship God and serve him only. Now, how do you as a man, Jesus is saying this as a man, how do you as a man take dominion? How do you worship God and serve him only here on earth? You take dominion over the earth so that you can release the kingdom of heaven, right?